E. Good morning, a brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and time for a tune.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
All right, it's a time like this that makes me proud to have a radio station that's in a talk format here that we can use to positively and negatively discuss issues facing the community. That's what's going to happen today for the next 2 hours. Welcome, Monterey Bay, Santa Cruz, Silicon Valley, to hour number one of the KSCO special. My name is Michael Z. We've got two great guests and a great topic for you to discuss the next 2 hours. Stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
On Election Day, Santa Cruz City voters will have their yay or nay say on the 7% utility tax. It's called Proposition P, and a yes vote would repeal the tax, and a no vote would keep it going. KSCO talk host Steve Hartman has almost single-handedly led the campaign to eliminate the tax, and a politically savvy, very well-organized army of Santa Cruz progressives are fighting very hard to keep the tax going. How will you vote? Hear both sides on the next KSCO special as Steve Hartman meets Neil Coonerty. What? Steve Hartman meets Neil Coonerty? This can't be true. Hartman and Coonerty in the same room? I don't believe it. These guys are not exactly fond of each other, but that's what the promo says, honest. If this is true, you've got to be with us and participate this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on There Must Be Some Mistake Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
And there is no mistake. Both Neil and Steve are in the studio here, and we like to have fun with our promos here. We believe our audience is larger than it normally is here on AM 1080 KSCO. I want to welcome all of you new listeners to our station, and I want to extend a special welcome to Neil Coonerty, former city councilman of the city of Santa Cruz, former mayor of the city city of Santa Cruz, and long-standing business owner. Neil is the owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz, and welcome to KSCO. Haven't been here for a while, Neil. Good to see you.
Thanks, Michael. I'm glad to be here. Glad to talk about Measure P.
Great. And Steve Hartman is in the studio here. Steve has a regular program called the Noontime News here on KSCO. You hear him from 12 noon to 1 p.m. most weekdays. Welcome, Steve.
Good morning, Michael.
Oh, my God. There's that booming voice of yours. So, you have been politically active in Santa Cruz politics, just as Neil has for quite a number of years. Neil, you've been a Santa. I don't think you were born here, but you've been here an awful long time, right?
Yeah, I moved here in 1973 to take over Bookshop Santa Cruz. So, I've been here for quite a while, and. Actually, my sister was in the first class at UCSC in 1965. Oh, wow. I was at Berkeley, and so I used to come down. So I've sort of known Santa Cruz since the mid-60s.
So that's how you became acquainted with Santa Cruz, pretty much visiting your sister at UCSC?
Yeah, it's easy to fall in love with Santa Cruz.
Right, for sure. And Steve, were you born in Santa Cruz or nearby?
I was born in Santa Cruz at County Hospital, now known as Drug Rehab. Uh-huh. My family goes back in the county to approximately the 1870s. I've been in the same house for 41 years, and before that lived on the west side.
And you and I are both natives then, and you were a year or two ahead of me at school. We both went to Santa Cruz High School.
Graduated in 67.
67, and I was 68, and so forth. Well, the issue today is the utility tax, which is currently being charged to City of Santa Cruz residents, and that's it's a 7% utility tax that was first instituted a number of years ago. Why don't we let Neil give us the history of that? Is that cool, Neil? Can you?
Yeah, I'm not sure I know the history exactly. I know that it was first started, I think, in the 70s. I'm sure Steve has the
1984.
Okay. And, it was
and then in 1991, it was increased. I think it was at 4%, and then it was increased to 7% in 1991, I believe.
Okay.
Actually, I believe it started at 5, even though the papers have been reporting 4%, and it was increased to 7% in 1991.
Well, either one of you should answer this question, and whoever knows the answer. Why was the utility tax instituted, and was Santa Cruz City one of the first municipalities to institute such a tax? I know now there are many municipalities throughout the state that have a utility tax, municipalities and counties and so forth. How did that all start? And it must have started, if it was any time after Proposition 13, how did it happen? What happened? Anybody know? Okay, no.
It was, the action was led by progressives. Mike Rockin, being in charge of it, wanted to boost social programs in Santa Cruz to a higher level, and that's why the tax was originally enacted.
Okay.
Strictly for social programs. Okay.
And then later, was it not adopted, a similar tax not adopted at the county level and at other municipalities within Santa Cruz County?
That's correct.
Okay.
And keep in mind, none of these were by vote of the people. All were mandated by the government bodies. In the case of the city of Santa Cruz, go back to 1985. Let's go back to 1988. Since 1988, there has not been one, aside from Emily Riley in the last election, there has not been one city council member elected that has received a majority of the votes cast. So we have, in fact, been led by minority city council government for well over a decade now.
Well, would that be possible, Steve, when typically there are either three people or four people running? I guess, suppose anything is possible, but
at large elections, tend to the way our city council is elected is by the most votes.
Okay.
And because there have been such a wealth of candidates, I think this year we have a dozen candidates running for office.
For three seats, I think.
Yeah, I think this is unlike a supervisor seat where there's one person against another person, as there is now, or other offices. This is really multiple seats, multiple candidates. Mm-hmm. And as Steve knows, he ran in an election. The people who got the most votes are the ones that are elected to city council. It's way that works.
Now, district elections would have solved the issue of having a majority of the citizens who participate in elections being able to decide who sits on the council. That was voted down.
Okay. Well, so little bit of the history of the tax here, and it's but we want to do our best to keep to the subject of the tax. and just so all of you know, the tax that we're talking about is exactly at 7% right now. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
It brings in about somewhere around $8.4 million of the city's budget, which is approximately 20%.
And does that go into the general fund, or does it go into a special fund from which only certain things can be?
No, it's a general fund.
Okay.
And another thing should be pointed out, that Santa Cruz's utility tax is tacked on water, sewage, garbage, PG&E, telephone, cable television, cellular phones, and in the case of Scotts Valley, for instance, they have the people there will be voting on a 4% utility tax, and that tax is only on their PG&E bill.
So that's a new tax there.
The citizens have voted on accepting a utility tax. Theirs goes primarily for police and fire. And the citizens have, in fact, enacted their own utility tax. I believe it was at 3%. The council then raised it at one time. Then it was voted down. Now it's coming back again. Certainly, in fairness to Scotts Valley, the utility tax there is based on PG&E, which the city council has no control over the rates. In the city of Santa Cruz, for instance, last year, they're threatening to double garbage rates on people with oversized cans, the ones provided to them in the first place. So if the city council doubles the rate on that garbage can, they also double the rate of tax that the people are paying. So if you get a water increase or a sewage increase or a garbage increase, you also get an increase in the tax that you pay on that. by the same amount.
Okay.
But, Michael, you know, I think what this shows really is the problem with the debate about this tax.
Right.
The people that got this measure on the ballot didn't go and look at the city budget. You know, I've run a business for 29 years. I've met a payroll twice a month for those 29 years. And, you know, they didn't go look at the city budget and identify that there was $8.4 million worth of fluff there or bad programs. They didn't identify that there's a problem with this budget here. Instead, what they want to do is talk about the utility tax. And I think this is really about services. This is about our police officers, the people that we expect to be able to be available to us in an emergency. We're talking about firefighters here. We're talking about all these people and whether or not this $8.4 million taken out of our budget recklessly, just lifted out of there, is really going to improve the quality of life around here. And, you know, you can talk, you know, what it's taxed on and all the rest of the stuff. Yeah, it's a tax. There's 7%. There's $8.4 million comes in. It contributes to what the city services are, essential services. And that's really what you have to look at. I'm afraid that this is ideology trying to triumph over common sense. This is politics triumphing over firefighters' needs, police needs. We really have to talk about the services that will be cut, the problems that this will cause. This is the most critical decision in the city of Santa Cruz since the earthquake.
Well, I will agree with Neil that this is a defining moment in Santa Cruz history. Here's a statistic for you. One-third of the city's population is either over the age of 65 or in poverty in the city. And all of those people are continuing to be bled dry by the utility tax. Article 13, Section 35 of the California Constitution starts out with the following. Public safety services are critically important to the security and well-being of the state citizens and to the growth and revitalization of the state's economic base. The protection of the public safety is the first responsibility of local government, and local officials have an obligation to give priority to the provisions of adequate public safety services. Now, we had a big argument with regards to my arguments and rebuttals.
Who had a big argument? What are you talking about?
I was sued by the city of Santa Cruz, and I obviously think at Neil Coonerty's urgings, for them to challenge my arguments with regards to terminology and language used in my argument and my rebuttal. I think they sued in July, and we went to court in August. And in every case, I worked with the city attorney to make the language suitable for the city's position. We only went to court on one specific issue that I would not give up to the city attorney. That issue was I put down in the argument that Santa Cruzans were entitled to essential public safety, police, fire, public works, and street maintenance. The city attorney said, no, you can't say that. You're not entitled to it. I want the language changed to Santa Cruzans have the reasonable right to expect them. But clearly, if we don't have the money, we don't have to provide them. And I said, Santa Cruzans are entitled. I will not give up that issue. We will go to court first. And we ended up going to court. Judge McAdams ruled at the Superior Court level that, yes, indeed, Santa Cruzans are entitled to these public services. So what I'm saying right now is that Neil Coonerty, the Save Our City campaign, have no right to intimidate and cast fear upon the people of the city of Santa Cruz, telling them that they're going to cut police and fire and essential services to this community because those should be the absolute last things ever touched. In fact, they shouldn't be touched at all because the city manager, in giving his view of what was going to take place, has already said, this is where we're at with regards to police and fire and we're where we have to be. So any cuts to them is absolutely out. Neil.
Steve, you know, it's so much conspiracy theory, so little facts. The fact of the matter is that the city of Santa Cruz, and this is not a progressive side, we have 17 former mayors. Norm Lezen has endorsed NOMP. Lorette Wood has endorsed NOMP. The Chamber of Commerce has endorsed NOMP. the Downtown Association has endorsed Norman P., as well as the Firefighters Association and the Police Officers Association. All these people have endorsed Norman P. They've taken a hard look at this issue. There's many of those people in those organizations that are not friendly with the current city council, but they know what sort of devastation this would do to the city, how it would pull money out.
Well, and that would bring to mind a question then. Before there was a utility tax, and I guess that would be before 1984, how did the city get its income to run its services then?
Well, that would be tourism, Michael. That would be economic vitality in a community. That would be when the Miss California pageant was bringing in $10 million a year in sales back in 1985. That would be before the city escorted several of the car dealerships out of this community. That would be before jet ski races were outlawed in the city. That would be before the Beach Street Revival was told to get out of town. That would be before the Navy ship was no longer a good invitee to the city of Santa Cruz. The progressives and their politically correct mindset have systematically destroyed the economic base of this community, and instead they've passed the obligation of paying the bills on to the taxpayer through the 7% utility tax, the admission tax, the parking tax, 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 tax. And now, perfect example today is the 95 prime parking meters taken out in the most beautiful and sought-after parking area of Santa Cruz, the city, down at the beach. Why? To put in bike lanes. And I am here to say that the city, in threatening to close Harvey West Park, mandated that the only way these people were going to get Harvey West Park left open was if they came out against utility tax repeal. And I'm here to say if they doubled the rates on those parking meters, the revenue from those 95 meters alone would bring in the amount of money necessary to keep Harvey West Pool open year-round.
You know, Michael, Steve's ranting and ravings doesn't change the basic thing, is that the firefighters of the city of Santa Cruz, the people that we depend upon, that we depended upon in the earthquake to go into dangerous situations, to put their life at risk, to give us those services, the police officers who have to deal with the most difficult things, put their lives in danger, they took a hard look at this issue. This issue is about their future. Do we want to have police officers who are paid, well-trained, given the tools they need in order to do the job here? Do we want a police department and a fire department full of officers who are here for a couple of years, brand new out of the academy, and then go elsewhere to get higher paying jobs? $8.4 million year after year after year. They took a look at this. They knew this would affect how they're able to deliver those essential services to us. It's the overwhelming part of the Santa Cruz City budget. And they said, this is dangerous. Don't do this. Vote no on P. These, you know, we can talk ideology, you can rant and rave, you can do all the rest of stuff. These are real people that are doing jobs day in and day out. I don't want to undercut our police department, our fire department, the parks and rec programs.
Steve, are you saying...
Nor do I, Michael.
Of course not. Nobody would...
Look, the city manager, in standing up before the city council, said the average California community spends 70% of its general fund solely on police and fire. Public parks and recreation in the average city is at 7% of the general fund. Now,
okay, I've got a question.
I would be perfectly happy to have Santa Cruz funded at 70% for police and fire,
okay, well,
and cut out the rest of this crap. One more thing, please. I want to respond to Mr. Cooney. He says that 17 mayors, former mayors, are speaking out against this tax, number one. How many of them are currently on the public dole, like Don Lane working for the homeless, and Jane Yokoyama working for the homeless, and Bruce Van Allen, former mayor, working for the River Restoration Committee, and Cynthia Matthews, not only if she gets elected this time, she's getting $100,000 for Planned Parenthood every year, she's going to continue to draw her salary and double dip as a city council member, also making more money off the people's backs in this community. As for those endorsements, they were absolutely rubber-stamped political endorsements. I was never given a chance to speak to any of those organizations because they are scared to buck the powers of be and the cronyism in the city of Santa Cruz.
No one's scared. They know that these are real numbers. They know that these are real dollars. They know this affects the quality of life in Santa Cruz. They know that it will drastically. You don't go in and on November 5th, you have a budget at a certain level and then a 20% cut the next day and not affect the central program.
I think we heard that at the county level.
We've got to take a commercial break in just a minute, but I want to ask a question of either Neil or Steve, whoever knows the answer. Let's just say that that tomorrow the tax is gone. So we know that $8.4 million is gone from income that the city has been getting up until now. What's left? Forget about what services have to be. Obviously, something has to be cut if that money isn't coming in. But what's left? Is there $1 million left, or is there $8 million?
About $40 million.
No, there's $40 million now. So they've cut $2 million out because of economic circumstances, the recession in the United States.
What does it cost to run this city? I guess is a better way to ask this question.
It costs $40 million. We have a well-run
per year.
Yes. Okay. For the general fund. I mean, there's other parts of the city, the sewer system. You know, we do basically the sewer system for the entire county almost.
Okay, what I'm getting at here is if $8.4 million suddenly isn't there, what will continue to come in approximately?
Well, there's a number of, there's a sales tax. There's a number of other things that come in.
Do either of you know the amount? You know, we
well, it's the total general fund is about $40 million, and this would pull a little over $8 million out of it. So there'd be about $32 million left.
I was under the impression that it was $46 million.
So it's about somewhere between 20 and 25%
are you talking
of the income if the tax is repealed. Suddenly, about somewhere between 20 and 25% of the income to the city general fund is going to go away.
Yeah,
is that a correct statement?
That's correct.
That's correct. It's very reckless.
Actually, 17.5%.
It's very reckless. If you take a look at any business and running it, and you have that amount suddenly taken out, there's a trauma there.
Oh,
and
huge,
unfortunately,
sure,
you know, our largest programs are the police department, the fire department, and the parks and recreation department.
Okay.
And it's going to affect those things.
Okay, because those are the things that because we talk about spreading the wealth. What's the opposite? Spreading the opposite of wealth. I mean, when is it going to be evenly spread? So or will some things just be?
But you can't. It's not going to be evenly spread. The fire department and the police department work 24/7. They have to be there every day of the year. They have to be ready for you every moment of the day.
So
what you see there is a slow erosion of our ability to get quality, good, experienced people.
Well, will there be pay cuts to the if the tax is repealed? will there be pay cuts to to the sheriff or to the not to the sheriff? Laugh, Steve.
He laughs at this. I don't laugh at the people who protect us in the city, the fires and the police officers. They aren't going to take pay cuts. But whether or not we'll be able to keep up with the cost of living, whether or not we'll be able to compete with other jurisdictions around where they can move to, that's the question. Or whether we're going to have inexperienced people here. We went through traumas. In 82, we had a flood. In 89, we had an earthquake. These people, we relied on their experience. We relied on their training. We relied on their tools to get us through that.
Well,
we're going to gradually erode their ability to do those
because
jobs.
Because you won't be able to give them raises that keep up with the cost of living? Is that what you're talking about? Or?
Yeah. I mean, you cut out 20% of a budget, it's going to affect that. But that's not where the major cuts will be because we have to provide those and we will provide those. The major cuts are going to have to come then elsewhere. And the Public Works Department, the building department, those sorts of things are fee-based.
Uh-huh.
They take in the amount of money that they put out. So what you're really going to go after is a lot of the things that, you know, the everyday people in Santa Cruz rely on, whether it's Harvey West Pool or the Civic Auditorium or the Parks and Recreation programs, Little Guards down at the beach where kids go down there. Those are the things that are going to get cut, and they're going to get cut severely. And Santa Cruz is, I think, fairly clear that they want that quality of life. This is an investment in our community. It makes a quality community, which causes businesses to prosper and property values to go up.
Okay. We are going to take that commercial break now. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special. We haven't opened the phone lines. We will probably be opening the phone lines within a few minutes after we come back from the first commercial break of this hour. We're going to do something a little differently today. In the interest of trying to be as fair as we possibly can be, we have two sets of phone lines. We have the 479-1080 phone line. We want to ask for people who want to call in who agree with Neil's point of view on this. In other words, that the tax should be retained and not repealed. Use that number, 479-1080. And if you if you side with Steve on this, that the tax should be repealed, use 477-1340. And I think we have one caller, Barry, on the line right now. Barry from Moss Landing. Barry, if you need to hang up and call back on the other line, do so, because we have all lines open right now. But that way we can do one and one and one and one, so that we don't accuse of stacking the deck one way or another. So this is the KSCO Saturday Special. It is 28 minutes before 11 a.m. We will be on the air right up until 12 noon, and look for your participation. Take it away, Bobby.
Money, get back. I'm on blackjack. Keep your hands off of my stack.
Money. Where are the cars we were promised? The dream cars we saw at auto shows, the land-based rocket ships with cockpits full of computers and video screens. Where are the cars that know where you're going better than you do? The cars that are invisible to the wind. Where are they? They're closer than you think. Introducing the Infiniti G35, an ingenious new rear-wheel drive sports sedan with an award-winning and class-leading 260 horsepower V6. With race-inspired aerodynamics, this is the car that knights through the wind. With a satellite-based pop-up navigation system, this is the vehicle that knows where you're going better than you do. The new G35. From Infiniti, accelerating the future.
Infiniti of Monterey, 1711 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Class claim based on Ward's lower luxury class. Comparably equipped sedans, navigation, GPS mapping may not be available in all areas.
Attention parents and homeowners, the bad news is the cost of 4 years of college is now running between $55,000 and $120,000. But even worse, that cost is increasing almost twice as fast as inflation. Will you be ready?
Hello, I'm Ryan Kohler from First Horizon, and I'm going to help you get ready with a free workshop. Join me and a special guest expert, Don St. Clair, from St. Clair Financial in Sacramento, for an information-packed workshop on funding your child's college education. You will learn financial strategies and debt reduction techniques. Call me, Ryan Kohler, at First Horizon, and reserve your place in the Funding Your Child's College Education Workshop, 831-476-7880. Please hurry, seating is limited.
That's Sunday, October 27th from 2 to 4 p.m. at UCSC Conference Center on Ocean Street in Santa Cruz. Call 831-476-7880. Again, that's 831-476-7880.
For great food and fun, Severino's.
It's October, the nights are longer, so why not spend the autumn evenings at Severino's, where there's great music 3 nights a week and happy hour every weeknight. In the month of October, every Thursday, catch Ralston Brown and the Amazing Jazz Geezers. That includes Halloween, so come in your costume on October 31st. Ralston joins the legendary Don McCaslin Saturday, October 5th and October 12th. Friday, October 4th and Saturday, October 26th, come on down and check out Motown Express. The one and only Wally and his cocktail combo will be swinging at Sevy's October 25th. My jazz band, Stella by Barlight, will be there Friday, October 11th. And my Western Swing Band, Saddle Up and Boogie, will be at Severino's October 18th. Check out the brand new Agnes Rock, Rockin' R&B. They're going to be at Severino's Saturday, October 19th. Come on down and check out the action at Severino's.
Hey there, have you ever stopped to think about the importance and uniqueness of talk radio? Seriously, it's the only mass medium that is truly interactive and in no way tethers you. You can take it with you in the car, on a walk, even to the shower. You can actually become part of it by simply calling a talk show and getting on the air. Try doing that with television, print, computers, or any other media. I'm MZ. I own these stations, and I'm very proud of them and have great news for businesses and organizations wanting to tap into the immense power of KSCO and KOMY Talkback Radio. We will soon be opening up some prime radio one-hour time slots on both KSCO and KOMY for purchase by almost anyone who has a message or agenda to promote or a business to build. Imagine yourself as a radio talk host. We can make it happen. If you're interested in finding out about costs and other particulars, call my special First Step to Make You Famous voicemail at 429-2200. That's 429-2200.
You might not ever get rich, but let me tell you, it's better than digging a ditch.
And welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. Today, talking about Measure P, yay or nay. Steve Hartman is in the studio. He says yay. Neil Coonerty is also in the studio here at KSCO. He says nay. What do you say? Again, we would like to invite you to participate. If you believe that the utility tax should be repealed, in other words, if you go along with Steve Hartman, we want you to call 477-1340. If you go along with Neil Coonerty and say that the utility tax should be retained, call us at 479-1080. Okay, that way we can have some balance on the phone lines here. Okay, let's see. Our first caller will be Liz in Santa Cruz. I guess Liz is opposed. Hello, Liz, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, you're on the air on KSCO. Welcome.
That's great. thank you for having this discussion. One of the biggest opponents of this measure is the Santa Cruz City School Board. They oppose the repeal because if passed, this measure would greatly reduce the essential services to school children and families in the community. And I wanted to ask Neil, isn't it true that over 150 cities in the state also have this utility tax? Aren't we kind of in the middle and just fine with it?
Yeah, Liz. I mean, you know, this is not something unique to Santa Cruz. The cities and municipalities all across the state that have this sort of thing. And, you know, the local school board has come out and endorsed no on P. Mm-hmm. They feel it's strong. And, you know, when you take a look at where you can cut, you know, I think the amount of police officers that are available to the schools that go into the schools and work with the kids there and keep small problems from getting bigger and affecting our community, work with graffiti, the quality of life things, those are the people that are liable to take a cut, be cut, scaled back at some level, or not grow at the level that they're supposed to. Right. It's very serious that, you know, that we're creating a situation, we're putting ourselves at risk in a situation where small problems that are now dealt with effectively are not going to be able to be responded to.
Well, you know, I've been here since 76. I'm a family of four, and I pay, you know, I went through all the little taxes my bills in the year 2001, and I added them all up, and they average to about $12 to $14 a month, and I can live with that.
Well, I think that people do see this as an investment in the community and the quality of life we have here in Santa Cruz.
Liz, do you have a pencil and a piece of paper?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Liz. All right, for those of you out there that have a pencil and a piece of paper, I'm going to do something that I doubt seriously that Neil will do. I'm going to give you my entire income. Currently, I have a $396,000 mortgage on my one piece of property that I own in this community. I have a four-bedroom house that I rent to four students for $2,675 a month, a studio that I rent out for $1,100 a month, and the unit that I live in. I pay all the utilities for all the units. I have $198 a month disabled veteran check that comes from the government. So my total take every month is under $4,000. keep in mind, $396,000 mortgage where I make monthly payments, and on top of that, all of the utilities for all of my tenants that I take very good care of, and I make less, total, less than $4,000 a month, and my utility tax bite for six people on one lot is $700 per year. I cannot afford it. Do I raise my rents to my students and my other tenant to compensate for my loss? Do you want to see rent increases in the city of Santa Cruz from other landlords that are trying to be good and conscientious to their students? You look up at UCSC, these kids are paying $880 a month for each, for four people to a room. And I'm down at under $700 each and providing all of these extra benefits. Also keep in mind that a lot of these service benefits go to students who are not paying utility taxes. The campus is exempt from utility taxes. They're a state organization. So it's up to the rest of the people to make up for the services that are being provided for others. We have magnet social programs in this community, which Neil doesn't want to talk about. He would rather intimidate you with police and fire issues, which actually should suffer no cuts, in fact, be increased. While we've got a parks and recreation budget that's more than three times that of the average California community, and these magnet programs are bringing people into this community specifically to live off the rest of us. And it's time it stops. This council's been irresponsible for 21 years of progressive control. And if we stop it right now, if it does nothing else, it absolutely forces them to hit the ground running in November and be responsible to the people whose lives are invested here.
This is just more ranting and raving. This is not a mandate on the city council. There's a city council election going on. You want to change the city council, vote in that election. Vote and get out and work for the candidates you have. This is not some sort of progressive scheme. I've talked about these people. The city firefighters have endorsed NOMP. The police officers endorsed NOMP. The Chamber of Commerce has endorsed NOMP. The Downtown Association, the Locally Owned Business Alliance, which are the family businesses of Santa Cruz, have endorsed NOMP. The Santa Cruz Deputy Sheriffs have endorsed NOMP. Norm Lezen, Lorette Wood, Rod Cordero. This is a broad coalition of people that see this as a disaster for the city of Santa Cruz. It is reckless. It is based in an ideology that is extreme. And we need to keep this city healthy. We fought through a lot of things like the earthquake, and we need to keep this city healthy.
It would be
actually
nice
as long as he's mentioning Norman Lezen. I think if you folks will go back in your Sentinel issues to 1984, when the tax was originally proposed, it was Norman Lezen who stood up and screamed that the utility tax would break him financially. And since the utility tax, and even though he was able to continue to survive over the next 10 or 12 years, Norman Lezen has sold his business now, lives quite comfortably, unlike many of the people in this community, and he can afford to go back to supporting government, unlike at least one-third of that we know of.
Why would he do that, Steve? Unless, what do you mean afford to go back?
Well, what I'm saying is that Norman Lezen was one of the absolute most vocal opponents to utility tax being mandated by the city council in 1984. That's what I'm saying.
And you know, it's a good point to show that this utility tax is not just on residents. The businesses in this community also pay this utility tax and pay their fair share of this utility tax because they also use the services that are here in Santa Cruz for us. And all these business organizations who are paying this tax took a look at it and said, no, this is fair. We want to keep this in place because this is an investment in our community and we want our community to be a strong place for business, for residents.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Line four, I think this will be a pro-repeal the utility tax call, I believe, if we're doing this right here. Mike in Santa Cruz, you're on the air.
Thank you for having this show. This was very good.
This is a public service of KSCO Radio and our advertisers.
You guys do a great job, and I applaud Steve and his team for giving the voters of Santa Cruz the opportunity to vote on this issue. The 146 cities in California of the 400 that are around, two-thirds of those people did have the right to vote on this utility tax when it was placed before them, whereas the city of Santa Cruz did not. Also, I noticed in doing my research that this tax has gone up 1,000% in the last 18 years. Since 1992, it's gone up 232% in just the revenue side of the 10 revenue categories the city has. Also, when you look at the consolidated financial statement, and Neil mentioned that the proponents of this tax repeal did not look at the budget. Well, the consolidated financial statement shows the city spends $12.5 million a year on social programs and related programs. So if we're looking for a place that we can begin to do some cutting, there's one area we could be looking at. Steve's already pointed out how it hurts people on fixed incomes. We have 10% of our population in Santa Cruz are 65 and older, and 25.8% earn less than $25,000 a year in our community. I think what frustrates me is Neil points out the fact that, you know, that we're behind the eight ball if they lose this money. Well, why are we behind the eight ball? We have no economic development strategy to grow and retain local businesses. We have no plans to develop the west side industrial lands. In fact, we've done everything to make sure that nothing happens there. We have 50% of all the purchasing takes place in every category outside the city and county of Santa Cruz. Also, the city of Santa Cruz has twice as many employees as a city of its size in California, and that its top city managers make 28% more than the cities of population of 55,000 or more. And we have also 50% of the land in the city of Santa Cruz is off the tax roll because of different measures we've passed over the years. So if we're behind the eight ball, if they lose this $8.4 million, which I noticed in the city attorney's documents he filed with the court said was 17.5%, so I don't know whose numbers are right here.
Mike, where did you get those numbers? You seem to have an awful lot of numbers.
Mike is actually, he's applauding Steve's team, but he's part of Steve's team, so it's sort of self-applauding. He's one of the signers of the yes on...
Well, I did my research, Neil, which I tried to make sure that I knew what I was talking about. And I would say that the police and fire department, why would they vote, come out against, supporting this, repeal of this tax? Because, you know, they're scared to death too. The Downtown Association gets money from the city, to operate its programs. The Chamber of Commerce has pretty much been a non-event for the last couple of years anyway. So, I just think that if the city was serious about the quality of life, which we talk about here, then we'd be looking at developing an economic development strategy. There's been nothing talked about that. In fact, I think Neil and many of those folks like him, Marty and the crowd, did everything they can to kill the beach area plan, which would have been a great opportunity to help improve the economic vitality of our community. So what we've done is we've allowed ourselves to be put into a situation where the only way we can support the city is by the people of this city paying taxes to do it, instead of other cities looking how they can increase the revenues through sales tax and through economic development. So that's kind of my thoughts on the issue, and I really applaud Steve and KSCO for putting this show on the air.
And I would applaud Neil for showing up and coming on the
radio. Same, yes.
Yeah, and I think, I would listen to those firefighters and listen to those police officers and realize that they took a hard look at this and they came down on the side of this. In fact, I did support the beach plan, but that's not what this show is about. This show is about Measure P and about cutting the budget of the city of Santa Cruz in a reckless way that will affect us all.
Well, actually, it does involve the beach plan because millions of dollars were spent over a 10-year period to put that plan together, ripped apart by the three latest progressives that were elected to office 4 years ago, Mr. Sugar, Mr. Crone, and Mr. Fitzmaurice. This community has made a keen science out of studying issues to death without ever doing anything. Look at the water issue. Ziani Dam killed in 1981 when progressives took power. We have seen continuous increases in our water rates because we used too much. We didn't use enough. They've spent millions of dollars in studies for new water. Not one new drop. Not one new drop.
Okay.
In
thank you very
22
much.
22 years.
Yeah, that was Mike in Santa Cruz. We have Pat and Don in Santa Cruz opposed to Measure P, and Pat in Santa Cruz opposed to Measure P coming up. We also have Dan in Santa Cruz pro Measure P. But we are going to take a commercial break. I just realized that I have not given out our fax number today. It's 475-2967 if you want to participate in this program and don't want to do it by getting on the telephone and talking to us. You can write us your thoughts. I will read a couple of faxes when we come back here. A reminder, this is the KSCO Saturday Special with Neil Coonerty and Steve Hartman on opposite sides of the fence regarding the future of the utility tax. It's called Measure P, and a yes vote on Measure P in the city of Santa Cruz in the November election would repeal the 7% utility tax. A no vote will retain the utility tax. My name is Michael Z, and if you want to call and support the repeal of the utility tax, if you agree with Steve Hartman, call us on 477-1340. If you agree with Neil, call us on 479-1080 so that we can have an equal number of callers on both sides of this very important issue. 10 before 11. Here's a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
Paid for by Denham for Senate.
State Senate candidate Rusty Arreaz asks voters to look at his record. But with such a long record, it's hard to know where to begin. Take taxes, for example. Rusty Arreaz voted to raise our taxes more than 50 times, but refused to pay his own. He's been served with more than 30 liens and judgments, including more than $140,000 in unpaid state income taxes. His wages were even garnished by the state. When a female employee filed sexual harassment charges against a member of his staff, according to court records, Arreaz called her a, quote, weak, emotional female. To settle the suit, taxpayers had to pay the victim more than $59,000. The California Journal ranked Arreaz among those legislators with the least integrity in Sacramento, three sessions in a row. Rusty Arreaz says look at his record. We think that's a very good idea.
Attention parents and homeowners, the bad news is the cost of 4 years of college is now running between $55,000 and $120,000. But even worse, that cost is increasing almost twice as fast as inflation. Will you be ready?
Hello, I'm Ryan Kohler from First Horizon, and I'm going to help you get ready with a free workshop. Join me and a special guest expert, Don St. Clair, from St. Clair Financial in Sacramento, for an information-packed workshop on funding your child's college education. You will learn financial strategies and debt reduction techniques. Call me, Ryan Kohler, at First Horizon, and reserve your place in the Funding Your Child's College Education Workshop, 831-476-7880. Please hurry, seating is limited.
That's Sunday, October 27th from 2 to 4 p.m. at UCSC Conference Center on Ocean Street in Santa Cruz. Call 831-476-7880. Again, that's 831-476-7880.
You know, when Al Capone did it, it was called racketeering. When judges and attorneys work together, they call it the Good Old Boys Club. AttorneyBusters.com. What is it? Come and listen to the program. Tell me about any problems you had with the judicial community. Tell me about that attorney that possibly took your money and didn't do anything for it. Or tell me about that judge that looked the other way when you know the attorney that you had for you did something wrong to you. AttorneyBusters.com.
Listen for AttorneyBusters.com Sunday from 3 to 4 on KSCO AM 1080.
Something happening here.
And welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. Michael Z at 6 minutes before 11 in the studio with Neil Coonerty and Steve Hartman. I must say I'm very pleased with this program. I think we're getting a lot of information out on both sides. I think it was a great idea. It wasn't my idea to separate our phone lines. So if you want to call and support continuing the utility tax, we want you to use 479-1080, our familiar call-in line. And if you want to oppose it, call us at 477-1340. If you want to fax us a comment or question, use our fax number, 475-2967. Doesn't matter what side of the fence you are, because we only have one fax that fax number. Speaking of faxes, here's a couple of them right now. and it's sort of dark here, so I have to squint to see this. A list of endorsers is no good. We want facts and numbers, not to be told that because so-and-so endorses one side or the other, we should, too, let people make up their own minds. And that is from... I can't see who that's from.
So
I shouldn't have even read that. We want signed faxes, please. Here's something signed by Mark Penham. I am not a resident of Santa Cruz. I wish to call attention to something called the Washington Monument Effect I learned about in economics at UCSC. It involves intentionally saying funding cuts will affect something everyone wants to keep. Closing this or that affects families, etc. Is, in my opinion, exactly that. Focusing on things every reasonable person would want to keep shoves to the background those things that could be cut with little, if any, effect other than to trim back the invisible programs that use city funds to promote a particular agenda. Again, that's from Mark Penniman in Santa Cruz. If you want to send us a fax, 475-2967, area 831 if you're outside of 831. And
that's a good point, Michael, because a lot of the issues that Neil and I are going to be bringing up here are also issues that are going to be exact or similar in Salinas, California, in King City, Greenfield, Pacific Grove. Everywhere, residents are getting threatened over essential services, when in fact, those are the very services they want increased at the expense of those programs that are drawing people in to take advantage and live off their backs.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Don is in Santa Cruz.
Actually, you might want to go to line 12 first.
Okay. Well, actually, no, Bobby. What we want to do is go back and forth from positive to negative, okay? So thank you. Don has been waiting quite a while. I realize Barry was our first caller, but we'll get to him next, okay? So Don in Santa Cruz, who is opposed to Measure P. You're on the air, Don, on KSCO.
Thank you. I couldn't agree more that getting the facts out on this campaign is terribly important. What's unfortunate is that Steve Hartman's misinformation campaign is continued to this very program. And I think...
And what would that misinformation be, Don?
Steve, I think you've got so many it's hard to know where to begin. Maybe we should begin with the ones that you've repeated in this program this morning already. One of them is that you would have your listeners believe that you somehow won the challenge against your voter pamphlet campaign statements in the Santa Cruz County Superior Court. Nothing could be further from the truth. You were ordered the county election.
I'm sorry, Don, you're absolutely incorrect.
Well, could I finish?
You may also check the San Jose Mercury out that says that the judge ruled that we were entitled to essential services, and the argument that we only had the reasonable right to expect essential services was thrown out. That is the bottom line of the court ruling by Judge McAdams.
Well, that is as false and misleading as everything else that you've said in your campaign. Every statement that was challenged by the city was ordered by the court to be changed by the county
that
election court.
That is not factually correct, Don.
It is.
All of those things, none of that was ordered by the court. That was all that was petitioned by the city attorney he wanted changed. City and I, together, in Mr. Barasone's office, mutually agreed to remove that stuff from the argument and the rebuttal to the opponents' arguments. All of that was removed beforehand. The only issue we went to court on that was ruled on by the judge was entitlement.
If you're going to interrupt every statement that I make, there's not much point in continuing this, is there? Could I make just one point about this aspect?
Yeah, we have 1 minute. We have 1 minute before the news, and let's let him go ahead.
Steve, you said this morning in this context that your statement that voters are entitled to police and fire services was affirmed by the court. That's not the statement that was challenged. The statement that was challenged, and I'm quoting here, quote, Santa Cruzans are legally entitled to essential police, fire, public works, and street maintenance programs, close quote.
That's correct.
Your statement.
That's
correct. You were ordered to take the word legally out of legally entitled.
That's correct. The
and, on top of that, please stop interrupting, and on top of that, the judge announced to everyone, and to you if you were listening at the time, that the word entitled did not mean legally entitled. How you can interpret that as a victory escapes me.
KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville. It's 11 o'clock. We'll be back in 6 minutes. Here's the news.
USA Radio Network News. I'm Alan Stone. Investigators probing the D.C. area sniper shootings are expected to release it.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
All right, it says here, Tom Quinn wants to know if I can plug his show Perspectives a time or two during the special because he has gubernatorial candidate Bill Simon on his show today at noon. No, we're not going to promote that, no.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really got to go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Enthusiastically welcome all of you to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. Today the topic is Measure P on the Santa Cruz municipal ballot. Yes on Measure P would repeal the 7% utility tax in effect. The tax has been in effect since 1984. A no vote would continue the tax. And we have a proponent of Measure P, in fact, I think the author of Measure P in the studio with us, Steve Hartman, a KSCO talk host, and the opponent of Measure P is Neil Coonerty, speaking for the opponents, and there are many of them. There are many on both sides, actually. Neil is a former mayor of the city of Santa Cruz, former city council person, and owner of a bookshop Santa Cruz downtown, longtime businessman in the area. And you, the callers, we have a special, we're doing things a little differently because we have two banks of phones. 479-1080 is reserved for people who are opposed to Measure P, in other words, people who want the utility tax to continue should call us on 479-1080. Those who want it repealed should call us on 477-1340. We are rotating back and forth between these two banks so that we have an equal representation from both sides today. And before we get to our next caller, which was it's Barry in Moss Landing, Steve wanted to respond to the last caller from last hour. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. The first thing I want to say is that Don is correct that the original language said legally entitled. The judge changed it to entitled and threw out legally. In preparing the statement, I did use Article 13, Section 35 of the California Constitution, and that was the basis for my putting in the word legally. You know, this is all a misdirection and subterfuge on Don's part to get us strayed from the issue. Because it was not a statute, the word legally was removed. But let me ask the listening audience, is there any difference in your mind to legally entitled and Santa Cruzans are entitled? I mean, if you're entitled, you're entitled. And that is the bottom line. The Constitution says it is the first priority of a city council, city government, to provide for the public safety above everything else.
Okay,
that's all I have.
The basic fact of the matter, I think that Don was pointing out, was that both sides submitted ballot arguments in order to be printed to inform the voters about this measure. It ended up that Steve had to go to court and change his ballot statement because his was untrue. The no on P people, their ballot statement rested because what we said in that ballot statement was true. People should look at the ballot statement and take a look at it and inform themselves about this important issue.
Actually, I would suggest that your ballot statement was not true. I was in Montana. I did not think there would be a problem with getting down to the nitty-gritty of legal and illegal, Neil. The fact of the matter is, you have been stating that the utility tax is legal. The courts have never ruled that the utility tax in the city of Santa Cruz is legal. They have ruled that it is not illegal. And if there is a challenge to the utility tax at a future time, God help us that it be necessary, there are other issues that could make the utility tax illegal. As in, where did the city get the right to tax the people in the first place, because they are under a city charter which mandates that they have the power to tax before they tax? So, this is a side issue, ladies and gentlemen. It has absolutely no bearing on the amount of money that is being stolen from you every single month in your utility bills to prop up progressive, irresponsible government in this community. And you have to force them to be responsible by repealing this tax. I urge every one of you to vote.
Okay. All this extreme ranting and raving aside, the fact of the matter is everybody is going to go vote, and they're going to vote on this tax.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Barry in Moss Landing is in favor of Measure P. Thanks for waiting, Barry. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm for the repeal. It was expensive for me. I was a freelance journalist. I lived in Santa Cruz, and I had to use the phone for work, so it wouldn't be unusual to see a $300 phone bill. And so if you have the 7% tax, you know, it could be $500 a month, 7% on your phone bill. And that could expense all the phone calls at the end of the year, but that tax you can't expense. So I could tie it to my church and get
a tax. Wait. You can't expense a tax?
Not that one. I don't think so.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's... A tax is a tax. A tax is a cost of doing business. I don't believe that that's true, Barry, unless...
If you're doing it with... like our phone at the Bookshop Santa Cruz, there's a business expense. That comes off your profit and loss statement until you pay a tax on what profit is left over. It is. You don't pay double tax on that.
Okay.
Only residents pay and can't write it off.
But yeah. People that
so
have
if
to
you,
use
if
the
you
telephone.
Haven't been writing it off, I think you should file amended tax returns, Barry, quite honestly, because
people,
I think you've
been
missing
the boat.
People
that have to use the telephone would have to pay that every month, and all you're doing is taking an expense anyway at the end of the... You're not getting it back. You're just taking it as an expense. So it was very expensive for me with a large phone bill. If they would have said anything over $100 phone bills, you're not going to get taxed on it, I would go for that measure. But it had unlimited amount of tax for phone bills. So any telecommunications company.
He's gone. And let's not forget that it is a tax on a tax, too, because you're getting all the other taxes put in there by the phone company that you're paying a tax on as well.
That was a very strange call, how it ended. It just... Well,
disappeared.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks to Barry for calling and participating. Back to the...
Actually, you know what? As long as we're talking about incomes here and percentages... This is the only tax that you have to pay regardless of what your income level is. These are necessities of life we're talking about. When you brush your teeth, when you flush the toilet, when you wash your dishes or your clothes, you pay this tax. When you get your garbage dumped, you pay this tax. There are no alternatives. These are on necessities of life. And regardless of whether you make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year like Neil Coonerty, or you're making under $4,000 like me, or you've lost your job, you still have to pay this tax, unlike any other. At the federal level, if you're paying a 20% tax on your income, if your income goes down, the 20% payment that you pay goes down. In every other instance, it is this utility tax. As you look over the years, and I've got the figures here, every single year the tax goes up without regard for the amount of money that the families are taking in that have to pay that tax.
That's not entirely true. The fact of the matter is that many of these utilities have what they call sort of lifeline rates. They have basic rates for people of lower income that they pay that's lower than the normal rate. Therefore, they're paying a lower tax. Secondly, businesses are also paying in this tax, so they're sharing that burden and reducing that burden on residents. And thirdly, if you take a look at the services that will be cut, and the fee-based programs that will go up, those will affect those lower-income people in a severe way. So the fact of the matter is this is quite a fair tax, and it provides services, and the people are going to be able to decide whether this is the essential things that they need in Santa Cruz, whether they want to back their firefighters, they want to back their police officers, they want those parks and recreation programs, they want a good city.
Okay,
well,
back to the
here we go again.
back to the phone lines. Pat in Santa Cruz, you're on the air on KSCO. Hello?
Yes, hello, I'm here.
Yeah.
You guys are basically arguing over the symptoms of growth. When growth happens, you're going to pay more taxes. And I would like to refer you to a professor emeritus of physics at the University of Colorado, Albert Bartlett. Use that as a keyword, and you will find thorough documentation as to what I'm saying. You're not going to get away from it. As long as we have growth, you're going to pay more taxes. And everybody's going to have plenty to complain about. Nobody's going to have a happy solution to any of this.
It says here you're opposed to Measure P, Pat.
You gathered that. Well,
it says it on the screen.
Yes,
I
am opposed.
Call screener.
Yeah. I am opposed to it. You're arguing about symptoms of growth, not growth.
Why are you opposed to it? Why are you opposed to Measure P, which means you're in favor of keeping the tax?
No. The proper solution to this problem is to reduce the size of our population. That way, we don't have to sacrifice the stuff that this tax provides. For example, we have you yourself constantly talk about the beautiful Monterey Bay we're so blessed to live in. Well, the reason it's beautiful isn't because we have shopping malls from coast to coast. It's because we have beautiful parklands. That's the primary reason this place is beautiful. And the rangers that work those parklands, I know some of them personally. They're hardworking, dedicated people, no nonsense, and they certainly aren't getting rich. And those parklands would be going to hell without them. They're already going to hell because they're underfunded, frankly. But this tax helps maintain those beautiful parklands so that we can all feel so fortunate to live in this beautiful place. You can't have your cake and eat it too. If you're going to have business development endlessly and more population and endless immigration and all the rest of the things that contribute to growth, then you can kiss everything bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks for your call to the Saturday special. That was Pat in San Diego.
Well, we got a break on that one, Neil. Neither one of us had to answer.
That's right.
All right. It's 17 minutes past 11, hour number 2 of the Saturday special. My name is Michael Z. This program is a debate on Measure P, yes or no. A yes vote on Measure P would repeal the 7% utility tax in the city of Santa Cruz. A no vote would retain the tax. And this program is brought to you as a public service by KSCO Radio and its advertisers. Guests in the studio are Steve Hartman, who wrote the repeal of the tax initiative, and Neil Coonerty, who is against the repeal of the tax. What do you think? If you're in favor of the tax, call us at 477-1340. If you're against the tax, call us at 479-1080. I think it's time for us to go down to someone who is against the tax here.
I thought Pat was against the tax.
Pat was for the tax. The last caller. Yeah, Pat was. Now it's time to go to someone who is against the tax, and that is West Side. The problem here is this yes and no business. I mean,
we are in one of those things that no means yes, and yes means no. But I think Steve and I are both trying to make it real clear what the positions are.
Yeah, and so let's see what West Side Al has to say. Hello there.
Good morning, gentlemen. Vote yes on P. Get rid of the tax. That's the simple equation. I got a couple of points that I would like to bring up here that I think were erroneously presented in the last hour, and then I have a question for Mr. Coonerty. First of all, Neil, your language in the ballot pamphlet was not challenged because we're not the mean-spirited kind of people that like to drag people into court. There was a lot of stuff in your language that was inaccurate, misleading, and not factual, but we decided to let it ride, let the people make up their own minds. And I don't know for sure, but I suspect that you did have a hand in dragging us into court. And there's only one point that we had to go to court on. Steve's entirely correct about that. We changed it from legally entitled to entitled. Now, Steve, you may be interested in reading the rest of the language that didn't get challenged that we put in there that nobody seemed to have a problem with, such as the fact that the city is staffed, overstaffed, by, you can go through the whole litany of our arguments that didn't get challenged. So that's number one. Second thing, Neil, you were on the council and serving as mayor during a period of time when the so-called revolving door for our policemen and women was going on. I've been in this town 20 years, and it's always been this way. We train them. They go for higher pay somewhere else. You didn't do anything about that when you were mayor or on the council, so I don't know why all of a sudden you proposed that the utility tax is going to cause this phenomenon to start happening. It's been happening. Your comment, sir?
My comment is that, in fact, when I was on the council, we had several contracts come up for both the fire department and the police department who are represented by organizations, and we came to an agreement, and they signed the contract, and
it didn't keep the police
they got what
in
they
town.
Want. It has kept the police in town. There's a number of police officers that have been here. So that we did support that. I think that there was a fallout immediately after the earthquake, as there was in many different aspects of the community that after going through that trauma. But the fact of the matter is it wasn't a revolving door. Secondly is I didn't have anything to do with the challenge. Leslie Cook, the city clerk, challenged the ballot statement.
All right, thanks for clarifying that.
And, you know, ballot statements are important things. You have to be able to go to the voters and tell them the truth about it.
Well, why don't you tell the listeners all the language in our ballot measure that was not challenged?
Sure. You're free to, Steve's here, and he's free to go over that, and I'll be happy to rebut any of the statements that are made there.
Okay,
that's
well,
what we're in. We're in the middle of a political debate. You signed the ballot statement for the Yes on P people. You're part of that. The people that drafted that, and in fact,
right.
It wasn't just about legally entitled. The first ballot statement had all sorts of things about this is an illegal tax. Those things had to be taken out because, in fact, it's gone through several courts, and it's not an illegal tax. You may wish it was an illegal tax, but it wasn't, and people are voting on it right now.
Well,
and they're
November.
Doing this critical vote about whether we want to maintain the city of the quality of life that we have now.
Well, Neil, you and I will differ all day on what that quality of life means to you or means to me. I think one of the city council candidates this time around, Aldo, has suggested that the first thing the city needs to do is bring in an independent outside auditor and go through its budget, and they might find some money in some ways.
Well, he won't get elected then.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up. This sort of cackling aside, I'm glad you brought that up because the city of Santa Cruz is very well run. In fact, the finance department for over a decade has won the top award for reporting, for doing it accurately, for doing it on time, for doing it. It is a very well managed city. And that, I would love for people to take a look at that because outside, people have taken a look at that reporting, have taken a look at that, and we have won award after award for over a decade.
Well, getting an award for good accounting isn't the same as getting an award for a good product. You know, you get good points for doing accounting on a bad product, and that doesn't mean that you're spending the money where you want to. You're just accounting for your spending.
It's
That's all.
It's time for us to move on. Thanks, Al, for your call.
Wait, Michael, I got the question from Mr. Coonerty.
You've already asked a question to Mr. Coonerty. I realize that it could be a zinger, but I really do think we need to move on.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, next caller will be Robert in West Santa Cruz, opposed to Measure P. Robert, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there.
First off, I'd like to thank Steve, Neil, and Mike. I'd like to say that I appreciate that one thing that you have in common is that you all really care about our community, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to do this.
Thanks, Robert.
And I have a couple comments, a couple suggestions, and several questions for Steve. So, Steve, you might want to get your paper and pencil. I'd like to just run through this and, you know, just say everything and then let you respond, okay?
All right, fine.
So, I want to make a couple comments. One was that the reason the tax was enacted was because of Prop 13. And the city was looking for money to make up for it. It wasn't so much that they were looking for, you know, to fund the special social service programs. And I'd like to say,
take one issue at a time, and
okay,
we'll let you continue. I'm looking at the CAFR, the Consolidated Annual Financial Report. In 1991-92, general property tax revenues were $6.3 million. In 2001, they were $13.3 million, more than double. For every person that's lived in their house for 25 years in the city of Santa Cruz that is paying on a tax base of, say, $100,000, every one of those that can be forced out because it's too expensive to live here, that house will be resold and will exponentially increase the amount of revenues to the city of Santa Cruz. We are now looking at homes selling in the city for over $1 million. And the more of the people who have lived in this community the longest the progressives can drive out, the more the real estate is turned over and the bucks roll in. And I would maintain that that is one of the primary reasons for these taxes being as high as they are and hurting us as bad as they are, because progressives don't care. They know if they run us out of town, that they're going to get more money in property tax revenues from the houses we leave behind.
And if you take a look at NOMP, this is not a progressive issue. This is a very broad-based issue. The Chamber of Commerce, the firefighters, the police officers. And, in fact, part of the dynamic here is that the state and the county governments are upper-level jurisdictions. And when the economy gets bad, as it did in the early 90s or as it is now, they come and capture money. The state will come and capture some of the county money and take it to the state. And the county then comes and captures some of the city money and takes it to the county. And then the city is left to deal with that sort of thing. So that's another part of that dynamic. And we want to make sure we have stable funding here, local control, local funding, so that we can get the programs that we need in Santa Cruz.
Okay.
Okay. Can I finish?
Sure, yeah. But just the next minute or so, okay?
Okay. Let me just run through this. Okay. Steve, I'd like to also say, please stop with the more local than thou crap. And also...
That's irrelevant here. Keep going.
Okay. And the same with the 2020 hindsight on the bad fiscal decisions, unless you want me to remind Steve, who gave away our half of 41st Avenue?
I think it's absolutely...
Okay, well then, who gave away 41st Avenue? But let me finish. Steve mentioned that poor people were being bled dry by the utility tax. But isn't there a provision in the tax making an exception for poor people? An earlier caller mentioned that there was $12 million for Social Security. And I'm
sure there is not.
I think people
the
got
only
the
way
points,
you get a break on your utility taxes,
let me just
particularly
finish my question,
PG&E,
I only
is
have 30
to go
seconds
to PG&E. The city has made no provisions.
Okay, fine.
Because
wait a minute. They do give a break to large businesses that pay more than their fair share.
An earlier caller also said that there was $12 million for social services, but that's $10 million more than that's actually there. And Steve also mentioned that there were social service programs within the Parks and Rec budget that were hidden within there. And has never mentioned what programs he was referring to. And one other thing.
How about junior lifeguards? That'd be a good one.
Well, what is that, like, you know, $3,000, $4,000, something like that?
Well, it costs $120 per kid. I don't know.
Yeah.
How about self-defense for women?
One more question.
Yeah.
Steve, have you asked yourself why you haven't been able to muster financial support for your campaign? After all, there's no love lost between Charlie and those three-legged progressives that you speak of.
Yeah, there is a good reason for it. I haven't asked for any. It's hard enough for people to have to pay through the nose on their utility taxes to have to cough up more money. I mean, the city's already spent over $30,000 of our tax dollars to keep us paying on this issue. And let's face it, we're talking megabucks over here with Save Our City. In fact, I've got the financial records for Save Our City, and George Al by himself contributed a measly $5,000 to this campaign, which is $5,000 more all by itself than I have asked from people in this community.
We're in the middle of a political debate, and what you want to do is get out there and give people the facts, educate them on the issue, and then let them decide. We're all going to let those people decide. And we go ahead and are trying to let people know how this tax will affect them, what they're going to do. And the fact that, you know, you run a campaign that doesn't really go out and bring your message to the people is no honorable thing. It's a little ridiculous. If you're going to put these issues on the line, let's go ahead and talk to the people, let them know the facts, and let them decide.
Okay, I think that's what we're doing right now on the KSCO Saturday Special, where it is 11:30. We have Steve Hartman and Neil Coonerty in the studio. My name is Michael Z. You are invited to participate, 479-1080. If you are opposed to Measure P, you want to keep the utility tax, 477-1340. If you are in favor of Measure P, you want to eliminate it. And we're going to be on for the next half hour. Quick faxes here. Steve and Neil, this is a taxation without representation issue. It is illegal. That's it. End of story. That's from George and La Selva. And let's see, my name is Frank, and I work in Santa Cruz, but I can't afford to live there because it is too expensive and the taxes are too high. Because the city has chased out so many good-paying middle-class jobs over the last 20 years, the only people that can live there are overpaid bureaucrats. I'm sure they want to maintain the utility tax instead of earning an honest dollar. It's easier to make a dollar off the sweat of someone else's back. Mr. Coonerty is using the same old scare tactics of cutting police and fire departments and has at least 10 times brought the bogus point up. Is that the only argument he has? And it's signed Frank Vaccaro. Frank Vaccaro from, looks like, Globus Electric. Okay.
Well, you know, the legal-illegal issue is settled. Steve backed off on that. It is not illegal. And secondly is that, you know, I listen to the firefighters. I listen to the police officers. They're important people. And I don't know why he thinks that all the people that live in the city of Santa Cruz are bureaucrats and not earning an honest dollar. People go to work. I think our city staff has been magnificent. And at the time of the earthquake came down, those people were not working 9 to 5. They were there at 5 o'clock in the morning. They were working to get those tents up. They were working to make sure that the public safety was there. Police officers, firefighters, everybody worked 24/7 to get us through that. If we cut down the infrastructure in this, are we going to be able to respond in that way? We should listen to the firefighters. We should listen to the police officers. We should listen to all these people, whether it's the business community or the public safety community or the League of Women Voters has endorsed no on P. This is important stuff.
Okay, back to the opponent's line.
Well, wait a minute.
Here.
I should get to respond on this as well.
Okay, Steve, go ahead here.
And I'll say again that none of those organizations asked for counter-comment. All rubber-stamped Neil Coonerty's position. I happen to have gone to school and graduated in the same class as Steve Belcher. I know several.
Steve
current
is the city chief
that's
of police.
Correct. That's correct.
In Santa Cruz.
I know several current and former police officers with the city of Santa Cruz, some of which are supporting Measure P. The firefighters and the police have to know that I want them to get more money, not less money. And one of the ways we do that is to force the city into a position where it has to take care of essential services first and start over. We've been raped and pillaged in this community since 1981. It's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse unless you, the people, stop the craziness and irresponsibility of this city council.
Well, it's fire and brimstone and crazy things, but to tell you the truth, you cut 20% out of a budget where they've already cut $2 million out, and you want the fire and police to get raises. I've run a business. I know how it works. You know, if you have a 20% cut in your sales, something's going to give. And sure, you can trim here and you can trim there. But the fact of the matter is this is a very well-run city, and the fire department and the police department looked at all this, and they know it'll affect them. They don't support your position. They know that they're going to be hurt by this. And they said no on P.
Isn't it funny how the number has now jumped up to 20%? I mean, we could save 2.5% of the general fund right here today if Neil would take a look at the city attorney's own ballot title and summary for this measure, which says utility tax revenues for the 2001-2002 fiscal year are estimated to total $8,285,376 and account for 17.5% of the budgeted general fund. Mr. Coonerty has already increased it 2.5%. Mr. Wilson increased it to 22%. The figures don't match up on their side. Even the mailer that you folks got said 52% of the tax budget goes for police and fire. However, according to the city attorney's own ballot title and summary, in fact, the figures are 20... Where did I throw that thing? Here it is. Police is budgeted at 30.5%, and fire is budgeted at 12.5%. 30.5 and 12.5 equal 43%. So where'd the other 9% go? Where did the money go? If we save Neil's 2.5% and we save that other 9%, well, gee, We're almost all the way to 17.5%.
Now, let me tell you where all those facts and figures and percentages come from. What's really behind those numbers? These are the things that are behind those numbers. The fire department's paramedic response time, school crossing guards, police patrols downtown and at the beach, the teen center and youth programs, marine beach rescue programs, the civic auditorium, Harvey West Pool, pothole and street repairs, flood control, bridge repairs, storm damage, senior programs like Meal on Wheels and Legal Aid. That's where all those percentages are talking. These are real programs that serve this community. This community feels that they're important, and they want to maintain them.
Well, I've talked to a couple business owners in downtown Santa Cruz. They say, what do they mean they're going to cut the downtown patrols? That's money that I have been forced to pay for out of my own pocket, and every business down here pays for those separately. So if the businesses are paying for them separately, are they going to quit paying for them separately?
I'm a downtown business owner. We don't pay for those separately. I don't know what you're talking
about.
We have to get back to the phone lines here. We do have a couple of commercial breaks, believe it or not, between now and the end of the program here on AM 1080 KSCO. News talk for Santa Cruz, Monterey, Salinas, Silicon Valley, and Central California. My name is Michael Z, and our next caller will be Dan in Santa Cruz, who is pro-Measure P. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, first, I don't really hear Steve ranting and raving like I'm used to, so I don't know what that's about. I think he's very mellow today. My points for my position, are a lot of them have been made, but they're in the form of just a comment or question and an issue that I just want to lay out. What's to prevent this city council coming in from raising the tax again, since we are facing continual deficits? Number two, I only pay $16 a month, but I use minimal everything, basic cable, don't make long-distance phone calls, and what about Live Oak, who pay double water rates? Do they pay double the tax and not get any services? And lastly, do you see this as a vote of no confidence in the city government, as is my primary reason for voting against it, for all the waste of studies that are lining the shelves of the bureaucrats down there that never get acted on? Potholes is funny. They never fix the streets. So I won't miss that money.
I don't. Who are you directing this to? Are you directing it to Neil or myself?
To Steve, I guess.
Well,
Is
the vote a no confidence? Look, I've had no confidence in the city council since 1981. I think this issue is basically, look, we're going to take all the money away. We are going to force this council to be responsible. We'll start with essential services first, clean up the mess in this community, and with the extra money we will form and provide for those other essential social programs for this community. Personally, I would look to seniors first. I think that things like hospice, Santa Cruz Age Project, things like that are absolutely essential, senior transportation. But there are too many young people living off the fat of the land in this community, and they need to know that their course of action is to work their way up like everyone else did, then come back to this community instead of living off the rest of us.
And yeah, see this as a regressive tax, and that the council could raise it again?
The council can't raise it by law.
And I would like to respond to this that, in fact, you know, all this, in first place, this is a tax that's within the city of Santa Cruz. Outside the city limits, it has nothing to do with it. Secondly, it's not a referendum on the city council. There are three city council candidates, seats that are up this election. 2 years from now, the other four will be up. You can't do this sort of reckless action where you just slash and burn the city of Santa Cruz for whoever is on the city council. If you want to change the city council, I've only supported two of the present seven people that are on the city council. Go and work for those people. Change the city council. You don't sit there and damage our fire department, our police department, our parks and rec programs in order to send some message to the city council. You want to send a message to the city council? Elect them or don't elect them.
Well, whoever we elect, they continually fail to micromanage like they need to their bureaucrats, and they keep wasting money on things. And I don't care if it's a progressive or a conservative who gets in there. We need to have some micromanaging to get this city from wasting its money on needless studies and needless time spent spinning their wheels.
Dan, thanks for your call to the Saturday Special. That opens up a line for opponents of the tax, people in favor of Measure P at 477-1340. If you want to continue the tax, we have a line open also at 479-1080. It's the Saturday Special. It's 20 minutes before 12 noon. 20 minutes remain in this broadcast, so if you want to participate, give us a call here. I should let everybody know here before we go to the break that we have a website called www.ksco.com, and if all goes as we plan, you will be able to hear this broadcast on demand starting tomorrow, starting sometime probably midday or maybe in the early part of the day tomorrow. If you go to www.ksco.com, and there is a place for you to click your mouse that says KSCO Saturday Special Archive. And if you double-click right there, this program should come right up and play through your Winamp or through your media player. You can actually get archives of previous Saturday specials. It will also be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. at midnight if you want to call some people who haven't been able to hear the program and think should. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't urge you enough to call people and let them know that you're hearing both sides of this issue here on the KSCO Saturday Special. And if you missed it here live, you can sure pick it up tonight from 10 p.m. to midnight or on the Internet on demand starting tomorrow. Okay, Bobby, let's take that commercial break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
Where are the cars we were promised? The dream cars we saw at auto shows. The land-based rocket ships with cockpits full of computers and video screens. Where are the cars that know where you're going better than you do? The cars that are invisible to the wind. Where are they? They're closer than you think. Introducing the Infiniti G35. An ingenious new rear-wheel drive sports sedan with an award-winning and class-leading 260-horsepower V6. With race-inspired aerodynamics, this is the car that knights through the wind. With a satellite-based pop-up navigation system, this is the vehicle that knows where you're going better than you do. The new G35. From Infiniti, accelerating the future.
Infiniti of Monterey, 1711 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Class claim based on Ward's lower luxury class. Comparably equipped sedans, navigation, GPS mapping may not be available in all areas.
Attention parents and homeowners. The bad news is the cost of 4 years of college is now running between $55,000 and $120,000. But even worse, that cost is increasing almost twice as fast as inflation. Will you be ready?
Hello, I'm Ryan Kohler from First Horizon, and I'm going to help you get ready with a free workshop. Join me and a special guest expert, Don St. Clair, from St. Clair Financial in Sacramento, for an information-packed workshop on funding your child's college education. You will learn financial strategies and debt reduction techniques. Call me, Ryan Kohler, at First Horizon, and reserve your place in the Funding Your Child's College Education Workshop, 831-476-7880. Please hurry. Seating is limited.
That's Sunday, October 27th from 2 to 4 p.m. at UCSC Conference Center on Ocean Street in Santa Cruz. Call 831-476-7880. Again, that's 831-476-7880.
For great food and fun, Severino's.
It's October. The nights are longer, so why not spend the autumn evenings at Severino's, where there's great music 3 nights a week and happy hour every weeknight. In the month of October, every Thursday, catch Ralston Brown and the Amazing Jazz Geezers. That includes Halloween, so come in your costume on October 31st. Ralston joins the legendary Don McCaslin Saturday, October 5th and October 12th. Friday, October 4th and Saturday, October 26th, come on down and check out Motown Express. The one and only Wally and his cocktail combo will be swinging at Sevy's October 25th. My jazz band, Stella by Barlight, will be there Friday, October 11th. And my Western Swing Band, Saddle Up and Boogie, will be at Severino's October 18th. Check out the brand new Agnes Rock, Rockin' R&B. They're going to be at Severino's Saturday, October 19th. Come on down and check out the action at Severino's.
Paid for by Denham for Senate.
State Senate candidate Rusty Arreaz asks voters to look at his record. But with such a long record, it's hard to know where to begin. Take taxes, for example. Rusty Arreaz voted to raise our taxes more than 50 times, but refused to pay his own. He's been served with more than 30 liens and judgments, including more than $140,000 in unpaid state income taxes. His wages were even garnished by the state. When a female employee filed sexual harassment charges against a member of his staff, according to court records, Arreaz called her a, quote, weak, emotional female. To settle the suit, taxpayers had to pay the victim more than $59,000. The California Journal ranked Arreaz among those legislators with the least integrity in Sacramento, three sessions in a row. Rusty Arreaz says look at his record. We think that's a very good idea.
Hey there, have you ever stopped to think about the importance and uniqueness of talk radio? Seriously, it's the only mass medium that is truly interactive and in no way tethers you. You can take it with you in the car, on a walk, even to the shower. You can actually become part of it by simply calling a talk show and getting on the air. Try doing that with television, print, computers, or any other media. I'm MZ, I own these stations, and I'm very proud of them and have great news for businesses and organizations wanting to tap into the immense power of KSCO and KOMY Talkback Radio. We will soon be opening up some prime radio one-hour time slots on both KSCO and KOMY for purchase by almost anyone who has a message or agenda to promote or a business to build. Imagine yourself as a radio talk host. We can make it happen. If you're interested in finding out about costs and other particulars, call my special First Step to Make You Famous voicemail at 429-2200. That's 429-2200.
Ooh, you might not ever get rich.
Welcome back to the home stretch of the KSCO Saturday Special Hour number 2. Michael Z with Steve Hartman and Neil Coonerty at KSCO Studios. We're talking about Measure P, continuation of the utility tax. never mind. Let's just go back to the callers here. Ben on...
let's not go to Salinas.
Were we doing... I'm confused about where we were. Was the last caller for or against?
Go ahead and take one of Neil's calls.
Or anything you want.
All right, let's take Neil's call. Okay, Ron and Felton, you're opposed to Measure P. You're on the air on KSCO.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm a downtown business owner.
Okay.
And I wanted to refute one of the things that Steve had said a few minutes ago, that some of the organizations that endorsed No on P had no debate or had no, you know, didn't have both sides. But I know for a fact that the Chamber of Commerce had a very spirited debate, and they still ended up endorsing No on P.
Why wasn't I invited?
Well, it was a debate among the members. I don't think any of the No on P people were invited either.
Was Neil allowed to speak at the Chamber of Commerce?
I don't think he was there.
No, I didn't go there.
Okay.
I didn't know they were considering it.
It was an internal debate, and they debated it very freely. The other thing I just want to say is that we have a city manager form of government in Santa Cruz, and so this is not about the city council. It's really about the city services that we all depend on. And to me, Steve, next time you're angry at the city council for wasting taxpayer money, why don't you look in the mirror and see how much money you're wasting, I think $30,000 on this special election, and you haven't even tried to raise money to try to make your thing pass. And so the city of Santa Cruz is going to waste all this money putting this on the ballot for you personally and a few of your friends. And the fact is that's money that could have been spent on all these, on everything that we really need in the city.
All right, I'll accept your statement.
Okay.
No rebuttal, move on.
Yeah, let's go.
I will say that Steve has got a legitimate shot at putting this in the ballot. He went out and got the names, and it's on the ballot, and the people will decide.
Okay, let's go to Peg in Santa Cruz. Peg, you're on the air.
Hi, great show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I'm neutral on this whole thing at this point. I'm
We can't hear from you then.
Okay, goodbye.
No. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm really struggling, as I'm sure a lot of people are, given Steve's side and the opponent's side. I think that the city council, even though they support keeping the utility tax, has done nothing but negatively impact keeping it. I don't understand why they didn't put an alternative lesser tax or equal tax that we all could have voted on. I don't understand why, with a given a budget surplus 2 years ago, that they did not look over their shoulders and see what was happening to the economy and ensure that we had the proper funding to keep our police and fire and public workers, et cetera, et cetera. My question is, probably to Neil, is what happens, what does he think will happen if the tax is repealed?
Well, I think the city will be devastated. I think it's very difficult. Again, the proponents of this repeal did not go and take a look at the city budget and examine it and take a look at what the services they provided and all the rest of the stuff and start saying there's $8.4 million worth of problems here or fluff or non-essential spending. They went after a tax because they're anti-tax. This is a risky situation, and I think it's going to be a very difficult. We're in a difficult economic climate. I mean, all that stuff about governments anticipating the slowdown, it hasn't been anticipated from the federal level on down to the local port district, probably.
That's it for the callers now. If you're not on hold already, we're not going to be able to get to you because we want to have time to wrap this all up. Go ahead, Steve, real quick.
And I would really appreciate the question that was posed by the caller in that this initiative was started 14 months ago. Measure L passed in March. The city knew that this was going to be a big deal, and they did absolutely nothing to minimize the impact by A, either putting a compromise measure on the ballot that would go with repeal, lowering the tax to 4% or 3% or 2% or whatever, and designating it with a sunset clause. They also didn't have any interest in my Yes Tax Me More initiative, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, though it was written as an initiative, this tax would be a voluntary one, which people who could afford to do so in the community could continue to contribute either whole dollar amounts or a percentage to their Santa Cruz municipal utilities bills. The only difference being is that the people giving the money would be able to direct where they wanted that money to go. In fact, the city council could come back in the very next city council meeting, change the name that they hate so much, and enact this measure immediately to blunt the force of this issue.
Okay.
But the council is greedy. They want every dime. They're going to fight for every dime. And that's the way they're going to force you into position to choose. And I hope that you will choose to make them responsible.
Two faxes real quick. Michael, I'm in support of the repeal of the utility tax. Fiscal responsibility is required in order to retain a viable financial situation. My wife and I are senior citizens and are on a fixed income. I have worked for over 40 years and saved for a comfortable retirement. Now I found that I have to support those that I have not prepared or should not be entitled to certain amenities. My wife was born and raised in Santa Cruz and deserves to live out her life here as a third-generation resident. All of the changes made since the progressive steamrolled through their way into town and had all of us help to pay for many of the nonprofits run by their appointed friends. Therefore, I am against the tax. It's time to budget responsibly. If the police and firemen is so important, then why do we have to wait when calling the police? Why are we spending $100,000 for a police review board when we have a police chief that we pay? Repeal the tax. That's from Bernie. P.S. Thank you, KSCO. Another fax here to Steve regarding legal weasel. What is this here? Hi, Mike. Legal entitlement or entitlement? This is why Steve cannot win against these people. He is in court over technical legal gibberish. Have you noticed that all of these leaders of the community who support the utility tax either live off the city or their spouse works or lives off the city? And the city manager in his self-humiliating style on cable TV this week did threaten to reduce the number of firefighters, police, and other service we are entitled to. Now what or who are those servants of the city going to vote for after listening to him? Keep up the good work, and it's signed Mike Smith.
We don't have much time left. I got both those faxes. Let's take Neil's callers and tell the rest. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Okay, very good. Let's go to Philip in Santa Cruz for Measure P. Philip, you're on the air on KSCO. Oh,
no, take Neil's callers.
Philip.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Two quick points. One is the reason I don't like this tax is the city city can...
Put it in the wrong column. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Say yeah, thanks. Sorry. I appreciate, but I can stand on my own feet for 2 minutes.
Here's Candy in Santa Cruz, who's opposed to Measure P. Yeah, go ahead, Candy. You're on the air.
Oh, great. Thank you. This actually is to Steve. And that is, you know, I don't know if you understand. I'm a single parent with my kids that are utilizing the Parks and Rec programs. I can't afford to have my children programs at risk and have to pay more for the programs. I can't afford to do that. And if we repeal the tax, part of Parks and Rec is going to get hit. That jeopardizes my children.
So you're saying that I should pay for your children? And people who are poorer than I am should continue to fund your children.
No, not
you're living in an area where the cost of housing is exorbitantly high. Wages are not all that great. If you really want a good life for your children, shouldn't you be where wages are great and housing prices are low, so that people who have invested their lives in this community and can't make it themselves and are hurting should not have to pay for your kids?
Well, you're rather judgmental in that. Don't interrupt me, because you're passing judgment on me. What you don't understand, Steve, is that I was born and raised in this community, and I actually live at home with my children, so I can afford to stay here and raise my children here. I am actually basically a low-income wage earner. Most people don't realize that. The economy is very difficult. No, I don't expect people to pay for my children, but I'm doing that as well. But I do expect a quality of life in my community that I pay towards. I also expect us to have a crisis fund of some kind when we have another earthquake, if we do. You know, there's some expectations that I choose when I live here. And I expect to have a quality of life, and I expect to have to pay for that.
Well, I understand, Candy, and you know, I am sorry to be tough with you with regards to this issue, but if you've been in Santa Cruz all of this time, then you have seen the countless hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars that have been shunned by government in this community that could have provided an absolutely wonderful and solid economic base for this community.
I think we have
just,
that. The
just go back and look at Sunday's newspaper where we talk about the Miss California pageant and how Ann Simonton said, we didn't mean to run it out of town. We just wanted to make a statement.
Right.
And all of the statement that these council members have had over the years, in fact, have had drastic consequences for this community, and it's time we get it back on track.
Well, I think there's a lot of ways to do that. This is not one of them. We have an arena, which is our city council chambers, in order for the community to stand up to the plate and say something and disagree with the budget funding that's going on. This is not the way to do that. This is out of anger.
This is not out of anger. This is out of my own necessity.
This is out of anger and everything else that you have against the city council. What you're doing, though, in my opinion, is jeopardizing the integrity of the rest of the community and their quality of life. The stroke center, you know, they've already been cut with Measure L. They're going to be cut again if this repeal goes through. I mean, you know, there's a whole lot of other issues here, and we have other means to take care of business other than taking away people's quality of life and what they choose to do when they live here.
The city council only needs 120 days to get a compromise issue on the ballot that we could vote on in a special election versus $8.4 million, $60,000 for a special election is not that much money. And, in fact, they could have done this, put one on the ballot to compete with this measure. They chose not to do so because they want all the money. They are greedy.
Only.
I am needy. And I think there are many others that are just as needy as I am that will vote against keeping
we
this
have
tax.
Only a minute and a half
we
left.
Can run over into the news, can't we, so that Neil gets...
Okay.
I'll finish up. You know, this is one of the more critical issues that we've ever faced since the earthquake. And, you know, we have a broad-based group of people from the former mayors like Lorette Wood and Norm Lezen and Bert Muehle to the Chamber of Commerce, to the family-owned businesses in town, to the Downtown Association, and then we have the firefighters and the police officers weighing in, the League of Women Voters. They all take a look at this, and this is a reckless view. He talks about how the council didn't put in the ballot. If he really took a look at and did a study of the city budget and identified the amount, he could have put on the ballot something to reduce the utility tax. He chose not to do that. It's a slash and burn. It's reckless. We have a community that we're proud of. We've gotten through a lot with this community. We've come together. We make these investments in our community, and we see a result out of that. This is being a healthy community, and I urge everybody to vote no on P. This is a critical, critical issue, no on P.
Okay, Steve, real quick here.
One of my favorite websites, and I hope that you people will tune into it, is www.santacruzsentinel.com. When you get to the main page, go all the way down to the bottom, you will see an icon for forum. It discusses these issues there in great detail, both pro and con. I posted last night the Yes Tax Me More initiative. I would ask that each of you read it, change the name of it if you like, but give it the credit it is due to see that I really did attempt to save the city from this crisis, something that they would not do themselves. This is absolutely about greed, intimidation, and scaring you into continue to fund progressive irresponsibility in this community. I ask that you stop it in its tracks right now on November 5th. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for tuning in today.
Thank you, Steve Hartman, and thank you, Neil Coonerty. I think you're both great.
And thank you.
I really
you,
appreciate your showing up here. Coming up next, Tom Quinn's Perspective Program. Special guest, he has gubernatorial candidate Bill Simon scheduled to be on the show today during the next hour. So stay with us right here on KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville, and KSCO.com, where you will be able to hear a rebroadcast of this program that you just heard any time starting about tomorrow. So stay with us, and we will be joining AP Network News, or excuse me, USA Network News, already in progress here.
KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville, we now join USA News.
Information.